welcome back to another episode of Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery. My name is Kathy Moser. You are listening to this program on City of Angels Recovery Radio, where there's shows every single day of the week to help you strengthen your recovery. City of Angels Recovery Radio definitely has something for everyone. So if you're enjoying the show, please check out the main show page, the main schedule page, and see what else there is to check out. And also, you know, if you really like what you're hearing here, please tell a friend. It's the best way to get the word out, still word of mouth. You may be able to tell already that this is not an episode that is being recorded in my kayak like the episode two episodes ago was on Feelings Are Friends. I am once again back behind the wheel of my trusty Honda Fit. I am driving down to Princeton, New Jersey. It's a beautiful sunny Thursday, and I am committed to getting the show to you every single week. So sometimes it has to happen like this. This week's topic is the illusion of control. When I got into recovery, people told me I wasn't giving up control because I never had it. I was giving up the illusion of control. So today's show is going to be an experiment about all the ways our thoughts and feelings around thinking that we have control, wanting to have control, acknowledging that we don't have control, how that's going to affect our recovery, our serenity, and our creativity. So let's dive in. The first thing that I think about this topic regarding recovery and control is that I personally do not believe that I have control over the fact that I am an addict alcoholic. I don't believe that I didn't vote for that. I didn't check off a box somewhere. I didn't hope when I grew up that that's what I would be. I think it's kind of like having diabetes or like having cancer or something like that, that I don't feel like I have control over the fact that I am that way by nature. And weirdly, what's happened for me and so many other people is that once I realized that I can't control the fact that I am an alcoholic and an addict, and I accept that fact, then this is actually what leads me to being able to have at least not necessarily control, but certainly good orderly direction within my life. I don't have control, but I do have, I'm not helpless. There's stuff I can do. There's actions I can take. One of the cool things I can do for you on this program, because I walk in two worlds, is introduce you to artists that you have not heard before. So on this topic, the illusion of control, I want to introduce you to this artist, Jeff Finlan. Jeff is out of Fort Collins, Colorado, and also Nashville, Tennessee, reminding you that if you like an artist that you hear on the show, please go support them, buy their music. And also, if an artist appears on this show, it is neither a comment as to whether they are or not in recovery. It's just a song that I thought would be appropriate for the topic. And this is Jeff Finlan with his song, Hands Off the Wheel.
Took my hands off the wheel, put my face in the sun. I wasn't going nowhere, man. I wasn't hurting no one. It was a new dimension beyond making good time. I took my hands off the wheel, and the world became mine. Well, she cried like Utah in the flash flood spray. I could still smell the summer on her freckled skin. You see, things start changing, and there's not much to do but take your hands off the wheel and put your money on the muse. I just let go. Nothing to be mine, I hadn't been before. I found a new way of living, full of trust and no doubt. Where the white becomes black, man, and the enemy comes out. Took my hands off the wheel. Took my hands off the wheel. I took my hands off the wheel. I took my hands off the wheel.
That was Jeff Finland from his album called The Tao of Motor Oil. You can find that on iTunes. As you may be able to tell, I'm doing some of the editing of this in my home, not behind the wheel of my car. If you're wondering why sometimes it sounds a little noisy and sometimes it doesn't, that's why. Let's go back to my In the Honda Fit experiment of the illusion of control. I think in recovery also, one of the most challenging parts of becoming at peace with ourselves and at peace in our communities is the fact that we do not have control over other people. And boy, is that annoying. I completely wish I had control over other people. But it's one of those things that I realized it would only work if I was the only one who had that power. If everyone had that power, it would just be chaos because everyone would be trying to control everybody else all the time, and that would just be, it's a mess. You know, it leads to a mess. So I have to accept the fact that I cannot control other people, which is heartbreaking sometimes and frustrating a lot of times and scary some of the time. And also, my wanting to control people actually causes me to have worse relationships with them. Isn't that weird? It's actually when I stop, not only stop trying to control them, but even work towards stop wanting to try and control them, that when I relinquish the illusion that I have control over other people, then I am much more able to, A, focus on what I need to be focusing on, because sometimes I am trying to focus on wanting to control other people because I'm trying to avoid something in my life. Like, I would much rather tell someone close to me what I think they should be doing than, for example, sit down and enter all the receipts that are piled up on my desk so that I have better financial clarity. It can be a distraction. And also, I know that from people in my life that try to control me sometimes, you know, we're all kind of, I think, working with this all the time, wanting to control the people we love and people we love wanting to control us. I think we have like a spidey sense, you know, we have this like extra sense that we can feel when someone's trying to control us. When I stop trying to control other people and work towards not even wanting to control other people, then my life is more peaceful, my relationships are better, and that can only strengthen my recovery. Because as it says in some of the literature, in one of the programs, it says, you know, that twisted relations with people were often at the root of our alcoholism or our addiction. So the idea of just letting people be themselves, that live and let live kind of thing, is definitely more conducive to me not wanting to drink or not wanting to do drugs, because when I'm frustrated or in pain from my relationships, it's definitely much more interesting to, or much more I have the feeling that I want to escape. So why do we want to be in control? I think probably the reason that we want to be in control is because we're scared. And we don't trust that everything's going to be all right. And we may even have a history of being able to tell the story about when things weren't all right. So the cure for fear, they say, is love. For me, that's always been most effectively found through trying to connect with some kind of higher power. Because the more I am rooted in my own grounded spiritualness or spirituality, the more I'm trying to cultivate that. Again, it's something that I'm cultivating, like a garden. You have to feed it, water it, weed it. The more I'm trying to cultivate that, then the less scared I am. The less scared I am, the more easier it is to try not to control other people, to be free of that. I think it's interesting to remember, too, when we feel like other people are trying to control us, that maybe they're scared, which is just not obvious, right? Because a lot of times it seems like they're just being a jerk. I mean, I think that isn't that really the reason we want to control other people? Because people just do completely unreasonable stuff that makes no sense to us. I often think that we're like all looking out of a different window onto life, and it's just so hard sometimes to understand, like, why in the world would somebody do that? And then there's all these people looking over at us going, why in the world would they do that? So if twisted relations are a feeding factor into our alcoholism and addiction, then, you know, then working on healing our relationships, even with people that we don't know, you know, and treating people that we don't know with courtesy and graciousness, because we just don't know what they're dealing with. It's really hard to remember if someone is being a jerk and trying to control you, that maybe it's that they're scared. But I think it can be pretty super helpful, because, you know, if you think of like what you would do with a kid who was scared, is you would try to comfort them. I'm not saying like be codependent and go like do what they want so that they're okay, but it's just really rare that yelling at someone is the helpful tool, which is kind of annoying because it just seems like such a natural and good response. I don't know about you, but I'm fairly quick on the draw. In my head, at least, I'm being able to now pause and not have it come out my mouth quite as much. But so if we remember that when we want to be in control, that we're scared, and try and go deal with that fear. And when other people are trying to control us, that they're scared, and try and at least honor or acknowledge or approach them the way we might approach someone who we knew was frightened. I'm not saying give in to them. I'm not saying do things you don't want to do. I'm just saying temper our response with the understanding that there may be fear under there. So let's experiment a little bit about control and creativity. One of the quotes that I used in one of the very first shows that I did talked about the fact that a craftsman knows exactly what the project is going to look like that they're creating, and the artist has no idea. And I think that entering into the creative space is absolutely, it's not that we don't go in with tools, and it's not that we don't go in with vision. However, it's not my experience that I go in with control. And that's kind of the exciting part of it in some ways. I know that when I sit down to do songwriting or photography or writing, or for example, this podcast, that I really don't know exactly what's going to happen. Again, I'm not helpless, but I am not in control of what happens. And, you know, the more that I play music, the more this is obvious to me. So how can we be at peace with that? How can we be okay with that? How can we take care of ourselves? How can we allow ourselves to lose ourselves in that creative process so that this higher creativity can come through? Many, many artists, and I hope that you've had this experience as well, I certainly have the experience that there's times when we're really just channeling something. Some people believe that it's something that's already there and we are just accessing it. We're just connecting through to it, and it can be surprising, and it can be unexpected, and it can be not what we thought it was going to be. I love one of my friends that does a song where halfway through the song, the character in the song starts fighting back with the writer. It's like a guy who's out in an orchard and with his cat, and the cat goes up the tree, and the songwriter is saying that the guy's going to go up the tree after the cat, and the character in the song starts arguing back with the songwriter and saying, "I'm not going up the tree." Rather than tell you about it, I emailed my friend, found out what the song is. The song is called Railroad Bill. It's by an artist named Andy Breckman off an album called Please Don't Get Killed. Hope you enjoy it. This is Railroad Bill.
I'd like to do a tune off my next demo. Back to reality here. Our Railroad Bill was a hard-living man. He used to take his women two at a time. Everyone agreed he was the baddest engineer that ever driven down the Santa Fe line. His name was known from the folks back home to the tippy top of Telegraph Hill. And all the little boys, when they were sneaking cigarettes, they used to dream about the Railroad Bill. Oh, one day Bill was walking along and he saw a kitten stuck in a tree. When he saw it was the matter, he ran to get a ladder to set that kitty cat free. Bill said, "No, ain't gonna do it. Ain't gonna climb up no tree. This is a stupid, stupid song, and no folk singer's gonna make a fool out of me." I said, one day Bill was walking along and he saw a kitten stuck in a tree. Oh, and he saw it was the matter. He ran to get a ladder to set that kitty cat free. And Bill said, "No, ain't gonna do it. Ain't gonna do what you said. This is a stupid, stupid song, and as far as I'm concerned, that cat can stay there till it's dead." I said, "Wait a minute, Bill, you can't argue with me. For God's sake, I just made you up. I got the pen in my hand, I want you up in that tree. I want that cat unstuck." Bill said, "No, I hate cats. Ain't gonna climb for no cat." He said, "Why don't you have me save some beautiful girl who's been tied down on a railroad track?" I said, "Maybe there'll be room in the eighth or ninth verse, but right now I want you up in that tree. I'm the writer, goddamn, I got the pen in my hand, and you're supposed to listen to me." He said, "You are. Why should I listen to you? You should be listening to me instead." He said, "I'm a railroad man, and if I was real, I'd separate your face from your head. You ungrateful brute, I cried, you pushed me too far. I gotta show you I can do as I please." So an earthquake came, and it shook the whole terrain, and it brought Railroad Bill to his knees. And then a tidal wave broke, and everything got soaked, and Bill was almost completely washed away. And then a big green monster from the planet Neptune landed and bit Railroad Bill on the leg. "I got the pen in my hand, I can do what I want. I'm a bright new young talent on the rise. So get your ass up that tree, or I swear you ain't gonna get out of my folk song alive." He said, "You don't scare me. You might be funny, but you don't scare me. And if you don't leave me alone, I'm gonna tell everybody where you stole this melody. But before he could speak, his tongue fell out. He could not make a sound. Suddenly, he jumped on top of me, grabbed me by the neck, and he pulled me to the ground. And he hit me in the stomach, and he hit me in the face real hard, and I think he almost broke my nose. Just then, a lightning bolt came out of nowhere, hit him right between the eyes, and killed him instantly. The cat came down from the tree, had a bowl of warm milk, went to sleep for the night. Railroad Bill is survived by a wife and three small children. Dear God, I love to write.
So why do we want control in our work? I think it goes back to an earlier show that I did on divine discontent versus perfectionism. And I think there is, of course, a vision that we're trying to bring into the world that we have in our head. And I don't know about you, but it is just almost never happens for me that the vision I have in my head for an art, anything, comes out the way that I see it in my head or I hear it in my head. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't have vision. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't do all of our homework, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't practice our craft. It might be a useful way to think of it, might be to think of it as, sometimes people talk about this in relationship, that there's a third thing in the room. You know, there's this third presence in the room. And in relationship, that might be love, or it might be higher power. In creativity, I also think there's a space for this third energy. You know, there might be you, the work that you're trying to do, and then something else, whether that's your higher power, whether that's the divine force of the universe, whether it's the creative mystery, whether it's the spirit of artists that you are influenced by. I honestly have no idea what it is, but I do feel, and I've definitely observed this in working with groups in creativity, when we're doing songwritings in groups, that it's kind of like creating a habitat. Like, say if you want to have, just bear with me here a second, I promise this is going to make sense in a second, is that if you want to create, say, if you want to have wood ducks, like if wood ducks used to live in your area and now there's no wood ducks, one of the ways to have wood ducks is to go get them. But another way to have wood ducks is to create the habitat in which wood ducks thrive. And, you know, there's places where they've created the habitat and then the animals have returned. And I have observed in my creativity, and especially in the creativity of groups, that sometimes what happens is we together create this habitat, and this third thing that I'm talking about, something arises in the room. And I know it sounds really woo-woo. It's like one of those things that so many things that are important are hard to talk about. That's why we have art. But this is a podcast, so I can't do an interpretive dance for you here, besides which I'm driving, so that would be bad. Not sure if it's illegal yet to do interpretive dances while driving, but I'm sure it's frowned upon. So, I think it may be possible that we can be more relaxed in our creativity when we allow for that, possibly even expect it, even set a place at the table for it, and then not be surprised when it appears and it turns out that this thing we thought was going to be, you know, a watercolor turns into, I don't know, a sculpture, or this rock song we thought was going to be a rock song turns out to be a torch ballad. And when this one person that we thought was going to be this way turns out to be different, you know, because, you know, life has so many unexpected parts. I believe that both in recovery, well, in recovery and in life and in creativity, if what our goal is to align ourselves with some kind of higher power, some kind of higher force, and then allow that force to use us to be useful and helpful in the world, then letting go of control is super, because, you know, humans have free will, and if we surrender to the creative process, surrender to the recovery process, surrender to the life process, which, you know, all of which I think are inherently have a big element of mystery to them. When we can surrender in that way, I believe that's where some of the real artistic greatness can emerge. It feels that way for me in my own work, is that the pieces that are most, I think, artistically excellent are the ones that surprised me, that came out differently than I thought they were going to. And reminding you again that, like, this dance that we're talking about in this show is a balancing of creativity and recovery, is that the goal is to be healthy, happy people, and also to be as artistically excellent as we can possibly be. And I don't believe for a second that you have to surrender one to have the other, that you have to give up your well-being as a person in order to be a great artist, or that you have to give up your great art in order to be happy and healthy. So here we are just watching how that dance works out. And I know for myself personally that I am happiest as a person when I feel like I am creatively meeting my potential. I saw recently this great Zen saying. It says, if I understand, then things are as they are. And if I do not understand, then things are as they are. And I just put that out there to say that I've noticed for myself and others that this desire to control is a form of suffering. It causes suffering within ourselves, within our relationships. You could say in some ways war is, the biggest expression of this desire to control other people. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have values. I'm not saying that you shouldn't stand up for what you believe in. I'm not saying you shouldn't have vision. But there are limits to the things that we can control. So I just close this episode. Think of the serenity prayer, to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. A lot of that right there is about control, you know, letting go of things that we don't actually even have control over. I'm a picture thinker, and often if I can make an analogy or a metaphor, it's very helpful for me. So the one I think of when I think of controlling is that I think of myself as pulling on a lever that is not actually attached to anything. You know, I'm trying to control somebody or some situation. Like, honestly, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you because that's always helpful. Because I'm a performer, I've had days where I have a show coming up on the weekend and I'm concerned about what the weather is going to be like on that weekend. And there's a certain amount of my energy that is weirdly leaning into trying to make it not rain that day. You know, even though I could intellectually say that I, you know, obviously have no control over the weather, there will be a part of my energy sometimes that I've noticed is like putting some effort into wanting it to not rain, as if that might help, you know? So in this case, I'm pulling on a lever. That's like a very obvious example of where I'm pulling on a lever that is not connected to anything. And I tell myself that sometimes, and I have that image in my mind, and then I try to tell myself, step away from the lever. It is not connected to anything. So I think a big piece of this work of having more joy, more better relationships, more solid recovery. What's the word I want? I keep using the word excellence in deeper creativity. Let's just say it like that, in deeper creativity. A big part of it may be sometimes just sitting down. I sort of envision myself sitting down on the floor with all my stuff and sorting it into piles. Like, this is the pile of stuff I can't control, and this is the pile of stuff I can control. And to bless the stuff that we can't control, you know? Bless it and let go of it. Not hate it and let go of it. And not hate ourselves because we can't control it. So I wish you a great week. Taking great care of yourself. Strengthening your humanity. Strengthening your recovery. Strengthening your creativity. Inviting this third thing into your relationships and into your creative work. This thing that might be love, and it might be the higher power, it might be the divine spirit. Who knows what it is? But I'm pretty sure it's there. And if anyone has control, it's probably that thing. Have a great week.